This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. As Thanksgiving draws closer, many of us are beginning to think about turkey. But for one North Carolina resident, turkey is on the mind constantly. In fact, he says he loves nothing more than he loves turkeys. Mike Davis is a turkey hunter, a turkey collector, and a turkey enthusiast. He owns more than 700 turkey items. He has more than 10 whole stuffed turkeys around the house, and even a personalized license plate that reads, "Yes, Turkey 1." And this year, his birthday even happens to fall on Thanksgiving Day. Mike Davis joins us from Elizabethtown, North Carolina. Hello, Mike.
How are you, sir?
All the better for talking with you. Good to talk with you. Tell us how you got started.
Yes, sir. 1999, the National Turkey Federation, they were wanting to start a chapter in my county here, Bladen County, and they knew I was a big hunter, a deer hunter at the time, but I was kind of leaning on trying my foot at turkeys, and I was in the bunch that started the chapter, and from then I just started hunting birds, and I just fell in love with it, and I've been doing it in April and May since every year. You can find me in the woods.
In fact, you talked about being a deer hunter, and it was your grandpa who taught you how to hunt turkeys, and I guess that's because your dad had an accident. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, sir. When I was 10-year-old, my father was involved in an industrial accident at the mill where he worked at, was where I currently work now. He was burnt real bad in an accident. He had like second, third degree burns over 85% of his body, and he was sent to Charleston Burn Center. And my mom was sent up there with him to be with him, and me and my sister went and stayed with my grandmother. And my granddad was a big hunter, and he pretty much introduced me into woods, and that's how I got my start hunting. And since then, it's just been every hunting season is one of the things I live for. It's the excitement of getting out there. You know, it's what I am. It's my fabric.
What is it about hunting turkeys in particular that you find so thrilling?
Well, turkeys is a challenge because a lot of you would-be hunters will hunt 2 or 3 years before they're able to kill a bird because they're scared of everything. Everything out there in the woods is trying to make a meal of them. Bobcats, coyotes, coons and possums raid their nest and steal the eggs, you know, and they're at the bottom of the food chain, and he's a very weary animal. And, you know, during the April and May, the mating season, you're trying to mimic a female, trying to get the gobbler to come to you. Like I tell people, when you call that bird, and he's gobbling, you know he's gobbling at you. He's responding to your calling. And you wait a few minutes, and he gobbles again, and he's closer. He's cut the distance from where he was to where you are. And you know he's coming. He's coming. I've got his attention. If that's not the ultimate rush in hunting, you need to just get out of it because you're doing something that's kind of hard to do. You know, you're bringing a wild bird to you, thinking he's going to possibly mate, and that's exciting. That's exciting to be able to know that you're doing it. You know, it's a rush.
Well, it's fascinating to hear you say that because what you didn't say was that that the thrill is to kill the bird or to bag the bird or to show the trophy to your friends. I mean, what you just told me is it's about making a connection.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
What kind of a call do you use?
There's several calls out there, the easy calls, the box calls, the diaphragm, slate. I'm a mouth call man. I like to use my mouth call because you put it in your mouth and your hands are free. You don't have to move. 90% of turkey hunters or would-be turkey hunters get caught by movement. They move, and a turkey can see. He can see a grown man blink his eye at 50 yards. I mean, it's unreal how good he can see. And the less movement you do, the better off you are. So I use the mouth call to keep movement down. Sometimes I feel like a world champion turkey hunting because I've called a bird to me, and then some days I go out there and call and think my call sounds good and can't get nothing to come to me. So it's just turkey hunting will make you feel like a champion one day, and you go out the next day and do the same thing, and you can't even get a bird to talk to you nowhere around. It's not the same every day.
Well, can I get a sample right now?
Yes, sir.
Well, yeah, I know that the hunting is certainly a part of it, and I think around this time of year we're thinking about that bird on the table. But you do more than that. You harvest the feathers. Tell us about how you use those.
Yes, sir. The Turkey Federation, I think it was 2003 is when I first started doing it. They had a program called the Zuni Feather Products where they actually took feathers in and donated them to the Zuni Nation in New Mexico. They were really taking a lot of birds on the reservation for the feathers. I mean, they were pretty much wiping the birds out in the reservation. And on an Indian reservation, the state or federal government can't intervene because it's their land. They can do whatever they see fit. And the New Mexico Game and Fish contacted the Turkey Federation and said, can you help us? Can you get us some turkey feathers to give to the Zuni Nation where they can relieve the pressure on the turkeys because they are really killing a lot of birds and they're going to kill them out unless something's done. And the NWTF put ads in their magazine, send your feathers in. And I seen the ad and I started saving feathers and calling friends and say, if you kill a bird, cut the breast out, cut your spurs and your feet off, whatever you want, and I want the carcass, I'm going to break him down and defeather them and save the feathers. And this past year was my 11th year doing it, and I broke 1 million feathers last year, I believe, yes.
Over 1 million feathers.
And I've got it documented with certificates of appreciation from the Turkey Federation where that's how many they were had tabulated to be. And last year, the Turkey Federation kind of, with the economy so tight and, you know, money not out there, they've kind of cut back on some of their programs. And the feather project, they didn't do away with it. They just encouraged people to send the feathers to Illinois State Museum curator, Mr. Jonathan Raymond, and he's the one that's got the ties with the nations out there, and he gets the feathers to the natives that need them. And what I did this past year, I rented a U-Haul trailer, loaded up my turkey feathers once I got them. Because when I box them, I separate them from the bodies to the wing and, you know, label everything. And I took off to Illinois, and I actually donated them directly to Mr. Jonathan Raymond this year.
You drove a truckload of turkey feathers to Illinois?
Yes, sir.
That's amazing. So I know you're up over 1 million, but that's 11 years now. But how many did you have in the trailer?
He tallied them for me, and he said there was 180,000.
Wow.
So it's pretty much a community effort. Everybody, not everybody, but most people in my hometown, in my home county, and I got a taxidermist friend who saves what he can on birds. He gets them out, parts he don't need. In a neighboring county, I've got some boys in the chapter over there, turkey hunters, and they hold birds for me. And so during turkey season in April, if I'm not in the woods, I'm in my building breaking turkeys down for the feathers. And I plan to do it again this year because to date I've donated 1,305,000 feathers, I believe.
Wow. But not only do you work with the birds, but then you started collecting turkey items, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So what have you got?
I got that collector disease. I collect a lot of things, but about a couple of years ago, I said, what do I love more than anything? I said, turkeys. It's pretty obvious. And I started going to peddler's malls and flea markets and thrift stores and yard sales. And I just like looking at, I like old things. And I said, I'm looking for turkey stuff. A few people wrote my name down and they called me if they get stuff in. And my collection right now is pretty impressive. I mean, a lot of people walk in the house and they draw, their jaw drops. Say, my God, I've got candle holders, little stuffed animals, salt and pepper shakers, platters, turkey platters. I probably got 90 to 100 turkey platters, and some of them is the Staffordshire, England district, where the fine china is made in England, like very elaborate, beautiful. I've got a couple of platters from the 1930s, and that's just a drop in the bucket of candles.
What's the strangest kind of non-food item that you have that's a turkey item but kind of has nothing to do with food?
probably a decanter. I've got a decanter here that's made out of leather, and I've never, the only one I've ever seen before was in Edgefield, South Carolina, which is the home of the National Wild Turkey Federation. They've got actually got a museum there, which you walk through. And in the museum, a guy from Wisconsin, I believe, had donated this same decanter. I know it comes out of Italy. It comes from Italy. And I have one of them decanters here at the house. My challenge now is finding something I don't have. Like if I go and find something that I have, but it's a different paint scheme or different color scheme, I'm thrilled to death. I consider it something I don't have. But
well, it's kind of great, though, Mike. I mean, at the holidays, you're really easy to buy for. We know what to get you, right?
Yeah.
And what about you at Thanksgiving? You like to eat turkey?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. I tell people they want to know about what does a wild turkey taste like. I said, if you ever eat a wild turkey and it's cooked right, you'll throw rocks at that domesticated bird you get from the grocery store, because that wild bird, that wild turkey breast meat, if it's cooked right, will absolutely melt in your mouth. It is delicious.
Mike, what a pleasure talking with you. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
That's turkey hunter and turkey enthusiast Mike Davis, who joined us from Elizabethtown, North Carolina. Just ahead, we'll hear stories about family dynamics and holiday traditions from the North Carolina storytelling nonprofit, The Monty. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.